Hello, friends. Welcome to the Neighborhood Church Podcast. You can go to neighborhoodchurchmn.org to get more information on how you can get even better connected. Have a good and beautiful day.
Morning. Hey, welcome, folks. Come on back in if you're out there. My name is Justin. I am so glad to be here today. I know some faces are familiar if I haven't met you yet. I'm so glad to be here. My name is Justin Juntman. And I love what you guys are doing here in this community. It's very close to my heart because I grew up just down the road in Esco. Any fellow Esco folks in the room, right? And my wife, Gretchen, went to school here in Cloquet. So she probably like is having this weird deja vu moment of like being in middle school, high school, high school, sitting in here, you know? And so we're just like, I'm so honored to get to be here today and to be a part of your community. I've known Chris for years and years and years. And he came to me recently and was like, hey, would you come speak and talk to the Neighborhood Church about what God's been doing in your life the past couple years? And I was like, oh, wow, that'd be an honor. I would love to do that. And so today, I guess I'm going to tell you a little bit of my story. And then also, we're going to jump into the scriptures and unpack a few things because my life has been in a season of transition lately. Anybody else? Has anybody had one of those seasons? Maybe it's a season of transition that you didn't invite. Maybe you lost the job or lost a family member. Or maybe the transition was something like a new baby coming into your life, a new family member arriving. Or it was one of those longer transitions of God doing something over a long period and you had this invitation to say yes or no. And that's the kind of season of transition that we're going to talk about today, of what do we do? How do we hear God in seasons of transition? How do we hear God amidst the busyness of our lives? Because I get the suspicion that even in Cloquet and Carlton County, you guys have all had those kind of seasons, right? Maybe a few of you are in them right now. And so we're going to unpack that a little bit today. And I am going to start in the scriptures here. So let's, if you have a Bible with you or your device, or I think we're going to pop it up on the screen, we are going to go to the Psalms, Psalm chapter 37. And the Psalms are great. Quick little aside about the Psalms. If you've been in one of those hard seasons of transition lately, the Psalms are really helpful because they basically tell the story of people responding to God with about all the emotions that humans can have. Has anybody ever felt like you can't like yell at God? Read the Psalms. If you ever feel like you can't ask God really hard questions, read the Psalms. There's a whole bunch of them in there. So just if you're in the like really rough season, the hard season, spend some time in there because you get permission to ask the hard questions to God and the big joyful. There's the worship songs in there too. But so let's go to 37. Pull that up on your device. And before we dive in, I just want to pray for us today, okay? So Holy Spirit, would you be here with us in this room? And God, would you notice in us, wherever we're at, whatever transitions we have in front of us, and would you help us to be open to your invitations within them? In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so Psalms chapter 37, verse 4 reads like this. It's a simple one. It says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. I'm going to read it again. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. You maybe heard that verse before, you maybe haven't. I've read this verse a lot of different ways over my life. The first way I read this was like a sort of shallow desire, like, what are the things I really want? Well, I like tacos. Maybe God will give me tacos, right? Like those shallow desires, the little things. God's sort of a present giver. God's going to give us those things. I often thought that this is what that meant for a while. And then there was a season where I sort of pressed into growth with Jesus. And what I started to feel like was instead of God's going to give me those little shallow desires, God's going to actually put new desires in me. God will give me the desires to be in my heart, and then live those out. And that's good. He does that, right? He places things in us that are meaningful that maybe we don't initially care about, but then coming into life with God, we begin to care about. Things like justice, things like caring for others outside of yourself. There was probably about a decade or a couple decades of my life where I read that this verse, and I believed that God was more about putting desires in me to live out than about God helping me live out the desires that were already in there. What that did was that caused me to work in career paths and other things that I really cared about others, which was great. I worked in education. I worked in nonprofit leadership. There was so much of my life was sort of turned outwards in a season. And I think God does that. And has anybody ever had that experience where God turns our desires outward and we begin to serve the community? We begin to see the needs around us and we begin to serve them, right? That shaped me for a long time. But what I began to see in the past few years was there's another way to read this. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. I didn't give God the credit that he actually wanted me to get to the deep desires, the things I really want. I didn't give him credit to think that he would want anything more than in my life than the shallow desires, you know, tacos and presents and things. And so what God's been doing in me the past 2 years is helping me notice the things that he's actually written into me about what do I really want in life, the deepest things, the things that shape what my life looks like and how I interact in the community. Because in all those years where I was serving and outwardly focused, I was really focused on everybody else's needs and desires and not my own. I was really good at adapting to the room and walking into the room and figuring out, hey, what's the thing I can help you with? Or how can I serve you? And on the inside, I was really numb. I had no idea what my emotions were or my desires were. Can anybody identify with that? Does anybody know what I'm talking about? I'm getting a strong, sarcastic shake. No, I don't know what that's like at all. Not me. I know all my emotions. So for me, in my life, the past couple years, God's been uncovering and giving me permission to ask him, no, what, God, could I really want that thing that I think you've put in me? I think so often the picture of God I had was this picture of living out the things I should or ought to do for him. It was a duty-based view of God. And that's good. God invites us to invitations that are hard and difficult, and we should be obedient to him in all areas of our life. But the thing that I've been feeling from God the past couple years is that he was inviting me into the thing that I think I was made for that I didn't think I could ask for. That God had shaped me and prepared me for my whole life for a new season, but I didn't think I could actually do that. I didn't think I would have access or permission to say, God, could I have that thing? Do you guys think God's that generous? That he could want the thing that you want the most in your life. The deepest needs, the deepest desires, the deepest wants. Delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. The real one, the one that you don't think you deserve to ask God. God actually wants that for you in your life. So I'd like to talk about how do we get to a place where we can understand a God who wants those kinds of things for us. What's maybe a process? What are a few steps we can take along the way to get there? In my life the past few years, I had been working for this nonprofit, which has been great. I had loved it. It actually was a nonprofit that was working with church plants, like this church plant. And we were serving folks all over the country. It was really wonderful. My focus was sort of here on everybody else's community, which was great because I didn't want to think about my own needs, right? Like I just said. And so we were serving folks all over the place. But I think God wants to help us discern our deepest desires. And there are three kind of key and core ingredients that I want to bring up that I think are helpful or have been helpful to me and that I see throughout the scriptures. So thing one is what we're doing right now, and that's community. So how do we discern God's voice in a busy world? We come into community with others. The thing you're doing here now, and the thing that they just mentioned a little bit ago about small groups, about having other people in your life who care about you and who are for you and hear what's happening, is an essential ingredient. Now, I am about as extroverted as they come. Are there any other extroverts in the room? Anybody? Yeah. So like we just like lean into community all the time, right? Like we would rather do that than anything else. We love that side of things. And community is that space where we can discern together. The other side of that, the other ingredient that we need is solitude. I know, right? That just like cuts us to the core. So over the past few years, I needed to lean into this space of solitude. And God invited me into it, and I began to build new rhythms. We see this in the scriptures. We see the people of God, and we also see the people of God retreating. We see Moses leaving Israel. We see the prophets going away into the wilderness, and we see Jesus with his disciples and with the community, and then we see Jesus walking away and retreating to meet with God. Delight yourself in the Lord. And I had to build new practices and learn how to integrate and like solitude. And again, I just hated it. But there were ways that I found I could sort of hack the system. There were ways I sort of figure I could cheat myself into liking. Has anybody ever figured out a way to like learn how to start going to the gym if you don't like going to the gym? It was sort of like that, right? Like, well, I'm going to give myself a coffee on the way back if I go to the gym. Like, give yourself a treat or find a way to get there. For me, it was this. There were spaces where I found out, wait, if I do this, I kind of like solitude. If I'm outside, oh, I'm in the woods, I kind of like solitude. Or if I'm working with my hands, I found that when I'm sanding wood, when I'm woodworking, oh man, I can get into solitude there. Or I'm sort of this like weird guy from Eskimo, Minnesota who loves all things from Finland. I love solitude in the sauna. It's so silly, but like that is the place where I began to love solitude, was when I'm just like sweating in this hot box and then going and jumping in the water, right? Like that was the space where I figured out, wait, I can do this. I can do solitude. And in this season of the past couple years, I began to see God speak to me through these little moments really quietly as I'm spending time in solitude. And the scripture, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart, read like this for me, delight myself in the Lord and he will show me the desires I don't want to bring up to the Lord. He's uncovering those desires in those spaces of silence and solitude. I began to feel permission to ask God, God, what if that could be true for me? What if that could be true for our family? And what happened was this. I was working in this role that was caring about everybody else's community. And I began to feel again and again that I wanted to be a part of my community. I wanted to serve the people and the place and the land just like you guys are doing here in Cloquet and Esko and Carlton and Carlton County. God invites his people to care deeply about the spaces where they are. Let me share this quote with you that cuts me to the core as an extrovert. It's from a guy named Dietrich Bonhoeffer. He's a German theologian from the last century. He says this, "Let him who cannot be alone beware of community. He will also do harm to himself and to the community. But the reverse is also true. Let him who is not in community beware of being alone." Yeesh, right? That if we don't like going into solitude as somebody who'd rather do community all the time, I'm actually doing harm to myself and harm to the community. Because when I arrive in this space, what am I looking for? Approval, identity, meaning. And I'm trying to suck it out of the community and the relationships I have around me. Those are the kinds of things that only God can give us. Now, if you're on the opposite end and you love solitude, you need to lean into community. You need to actually not just isolate. Because then you sort of reel into isolation and not connected to other people and not discerned together. So in my life, as I was doing this, as I was spending time with myself, which wasn't always fun, and I was spending time with others in really intentional ways, trying to hear what God was doing in my life, these deep desires began coming up. The third ingredient that I feel like has helped me more and more is time. The process in which God is doing this work in me, and I think in all of us, is often a slow work. It's not a fancy mountaintop moment where I came and I said, oh, this is the transition point, this is the thing, left turn. It was lots of little moments over years where I began to see this could be possible. that a new season of change could actually happen in my own life. Has anybody ever heard that sort of slow work of God in their life, where they just begin to notice it, they begin to feel it? You maybe begin to see, oh, this partner of mine could be the one. But you don't rush out to do that. You say, okay, what would this look like? How do we work through this together? And so in my life, as we were doing that, the last few years, the time was the ingredient that helped make it safe to take the step. I began to talk with people about this deep desire God had put in me, these visions of new things, this new maybe job that I was seeing God sort of put in front of me, or business that we could maybe start. And my wife, she was so helpful. She said, yeah, you're great at talking to people, but I haven't seen you do any work on this yet. And I said, oh, yeah, you're right. I just like am casting vision for this thing, but would it work? So I did my homework. I wrote a business plan, like 45 pages worth of business plan, like the big kind, like the do your homework kind, to see if it would really work, because time in this equation reaffirmed and reaffirmed and reaffirmed through the homework, through other people, and through God's affirming voice, yeah, this next step could be the right step. And so as we're in this space now, I'm suggesting to you that I actually think God is in the midst of transition in some of your lives. God might be inviting you into some new next steps. That might be small individual things. That could be a new season of change. That could be a new job. But I think God wants to talk to you about that. The place where we find him is in these spaces of community, of silence and solitude and time. Another nice quote that kind of talks a little bit about this silence piece is from a guy named Hans Urs von Balthasar. He probably gets quoted here every week, right? He's pretty common, quotable. Hans says this, "Only in the openness of contemplation and listening prayer is there revealed to us ever anew what Christ, in whom we have our origin, means and wants. Every action that is not rooted in contemplation is doomed to sterility from the start." That was the place that I felt like so often I'd have all the new ideas, but this one was kind of forged in this place of quiet with God, that he began to affirm and reaffirm that this deep desire within me actually could grow, actually could come into being a reality. And what it provides in the hard times is a sense that you're on the right track. There's been confirmation before on the days where it's really difficult. You know God's invited you into it. Because since we've actually taken the shift, I like left an old job to start a new job. That's a scary thing. We have like mouths to feed at my house. We have two little kiddos. And yet, over the past couple years, I've felt God invite me into the new thing to let go of the old thing. My last point here is that we actually really need to care about the people who are the most vulnerable and affected by this decision. So often I see in the scriptures, the space where we make the decision, the people who we should be concerned about aren't the people with the most power, aren't me. It's the little kids. It's the people who are vulnerable in the process, and we bend to them and we say, what would benefit them the most? In Jeremiah 29, it says this, "But seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile, and pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in its welfare you will find your welfare." I began to be in the space of helping everybody else's city, caring about my own, and I began to say, I really want the flourishing of my neighborhood, of my city, of my people, and I want to have my kids see the thing that Dad took a risk and he's working to create something. And I think it could benefit them in the long run. I think we can get by. I think the numbers work, and Gretchen's keeping the health care, so that's helpful, right? But in our lives, I think there's always going to be these risks, these moments where God's inviting us to something that feels deeply risky and weighty. But that doesn't mean it needs to be fearful. That doesn't mean it needs to be risky to the point that we don't do it. So often, I think I've shied away from stepping into those moments of risk because I didn't see them as safe. But God drew up this deep desire in me, and he said, hey, I really think you could do this. And the question I've been asking God for 9 months is this:
God, are you really this generous? God, could I do the thing that I think you've created me to do in the place that I love? I think so often we don't think God is as generous as he is, that he doesn't want the deep needs to be actually come to light. God, are you really this generous? What's the thing that you feel like you can't ask God for? Do you have that thing in your head? I think a lot of my life and prayer life and communication with God was like, I'm like taking the test or the survey and I'm trying to figure out what answer do they want. You ever take one of those tests where you're like, well, what do they want me to say here? Okay, I'm going to say that thing. God doesn't want what you think he wants. God wants that thing in you, that deep desire underneath all the noise of life that you think you can ask him for. God actually wants to give you that thing. He is really that generous. And I think that's a radical thought that we don't consider most days and weeks in our life, or at least I didn't. You guys probably do. You know he's that generous, but I'm just going to reaffirm to you, I think he actually is. And so as we close this message and this part, I actually just want to spend a little bit of time in silence with you, because I think it's such a meaningful part. And as we do that, I'm just going to ask a couple questions along the way. In this process, the past couple years, I learned this little thing. It's this really old thing that people would do in the church when they were trying to figure out how to get silent, and they call it the examine. And it's just a process of walking through, in silence, a few questions with God. So I want you to do this with me. We're in an experiential moment, okay? I want you to just get relaxed, feet on the floor, kind of sit nice. You might want to close your eyes. And you also might want to hold your hands out and up. You don't have to, but that's sort of a posture of receiving. And I'm going to let us sit in silence for a few minutes, and we're going to sit just a little longer than the awkward point, okay? So we're going to feel awkward for a minute. It's okay. And we're going to go just a little past that, and then I'm going to ask you some questions. So Holy Spirit, be in the room now with us. And we, God, we ask that you notice the emotions, the things that we feel that begin to bubble up as we spend just that moment in silence. What are you feeling right now? Notice that. Notice that emotion that begins to bubble up. And now I want you to take that emotion and just sort of ask God, like, God, can I feel this? What would you do if I brought this emotion to you, like the people in the Psalms did? How would you receive that feeling? I think there's some folks in the room who might have the really heavy emotions that they're wondering, can I really bring that grief to you? That struggle, that hurt, that betrayal I've felt. God, I don't know if I can bring that to you right now. There's, I think, a few other folks in the room who they have like big feelings of joy or vision for what's next, those deep desires, and they are unsure if God's generous enough to hear that. And I'd encourage you, what would you say if God wanted to give that to you? All right, lastly, I want you to think about this. So if God was in the room with us here, which I think he is, and he was sitting next to you, and Jesus were to ask you, what do you really want? No, the big thing, the deep thing in life, what do you really want? What would you tell him? What would you tell Jesus? And how would you answer him if he asked you, what do you really want? Would you consider that right now? Amen. How'd that feel? Spending a little time in silence, a little pause. Anybody take a nap? That'd be okay too. So that's the thing that I hope God was stirring some things in a few people as there was kind of that moment of calm. I think what he tends to do is he tends to stir stuff up. I'd invite you, if you're able, to stand with me as we close, because I think God's doing a few things as he's stirring that up in us. What I know of this space and what I know of Chris and Nikki is the hope of this community is we're creating a space to respond to what God's doing. The stirring is just the start of it. Then we need to actually respond. The feeling of it is just the start of it. So if you're on the ministry team, I'd love to ask you to come up. These folks are people who just care about you. They've been trained to pray for you. They want what's best for you. They want to be the people who hear God for you. They want to support what God's doing in your life and help you discern that a little bit. And so if you're on the ministry team, come on up. And I think there might be a few folks in the room who God was stirring something there. If he was stirring something, if there was some emotion, I guess I'd ask you to just come up and meet one of these folks. They'd love to pray for you about that. I think there might be a few other folks in the room who, when I talked about the heavy seasons, you're in one of those right now. That whatever has been happening the past few months or the past few weeks has felt really heavy, and you don't know if you can bring that to God, I invite you up to get some prayer from one of these folks, because the community side of this is that we actually don't have to feel and bear that weight alone. God wants to bear that weight with you. He wants to be next to you in it, and the community gets to bear that weight together. We want to be with you in whatever the hard struggle is right now. Maybe that's like physical ailment. Maybe that somebody in your family had really bad news. I just know there's a lot of that. And so if that's you, I invite you to come up even right now. And then there's probably a few folks in the room who, when I was talking about the big, deep desires and the thing that God is inviting me into, you felt like, I want to figure out what that thing is for me. I've been sort of floundering, doing that job or doing that thing or serving everybody else's needs. I want to see what the deep thing is in me. I guess I want to invite you up to like start that marathon. Like that's not a, it might not be a today. God's just like, okay, here's the thing. I want to invite you up to like start that process, which took me 2-ish plus years to come into a space where now I can stand up here and say, I know God's inviting me into this season of transition. And boy, does it feel good to know that he's behind it and he's in it. If you want to sort of have that, please come on up, talk to these guys, pray together and start the race. Start the slow work. It's like a long marathon, ultra marathon pace, okay? That's what we're doing here for this kind of work. I'd love to have you come up for that. And as we spend some time now, Steve's going to lead us in worship, and I ask that you just stay as long as you want, that you respond to whatever God's stirring in you through worship, through prayer, and through community. Thank you for letting me be here with you today, and I just pray that you continue to do this great work in Cloquet, in Esco, in Carlton, and wherever you're from. Thanks for having me here today.